Hi, everyone. My apologies again for being late, but nevertheless, we're here. Now, there could be two things going on. Might have two calls happening at the moment. Looks like there's two events set up. So there could be some people who are now listening to this recording who weren't on the original call itself because you're on the wrong call. So my apologies for that, but nevertheless, let's have a ripper talk about nutrition and food and all things like that, because that'll be terrific. And I wonder, of you who are on the call tonight, who's actually been on Facebook recently? It'd be good to know who's been on the 112-Day Challenge Facebook page. And of those of you who have been on that, has anybody also been on the Wellness Guys page? And then for those of you who have been there, have you followed the conversation about cholesterol? Have you followed the conversation about fats and oils? The other conversation that got started up just recently was the conversation by Cindy O'Meara, actually, and she talks about breakfast cereals. So it'd be interesting to know what your thoughts are on that information that's been, you know, thrown out there into the ether, into the space, to find out, you know, what you think of that and how you go with all of that. So I'll just say hi to a few people. Julie and Johnny are there, Karen and Linda. And Wendy, of course, is there. So hello to all of you. You're the people that have said hello to me so far. I'm not sure who else is on there. There's actually a lot more people that are on the call tonight than just that. So if you're on the call and you haven't said hello, love you to say hi. Tune in, check in, let us know. Ask some questions. And in fact, Johnny, I'd love an update. Julie and Johnny, I'd love updates from where you're at right now, because I know that you know, you both got off to a flying start, so I'd love to get an update. In fact, why don't you all give me an update on where you're at? Because, you know, one of the great things about the 112-Day Challenge is the ability to share and compare. And it's always nice to be motivated by other people's success too. So let's all share. It'd be great. Linda says, hi, Damien. Can you tell me a bit about miso and what are the benefits? And is there likely to be a big difference in quality depending on where we buy it? I tend to have it instead of coffee now when I'm at the mall. And I say, Linda, that's great. Well done. For the most part, I can't think of any reason why there'd be any significant difference in quality. There may be a difference in what might be added to it. So some miso soups might have a bit of MSG in it. And so you need to be a little bit careful of that. Some other miso soups might have pearl barley. And other miso soups might just be pure and plain and just be, you know, the soy flavours as well as the seaweed. So it's difficult to say, I suppose, 100 and be 100% certain that there's not going to be any kind of change or difference in the quality, because I don't, you know, to be honest with you, I don't buy miso when I go to the mall. I'll tend to, if I go to the mall, I'll be drinking water. But if I was to go out, I'd probably drink a coffee. You know, I don't mind drinking a coffee. And I don't mind if each of you drink a coffee too once a day. It's not a challenge. But if you are going to choose miso, the fresher, the better. And make sure there's no MSG in it. That'll be one of the best things. Now, there's a number of different benefits in it. The green part, or the green constituents of the seaweed, of course, have significant benefit with the substance called chlorophyll, and that has huge benefit for the skin. There's also benefit in the iodine content or compound found in the seaweed. Now, this will tend to be the case for the seaweeds that are harvested from the ocean, not seaweeds that are grown in captivity. Now, some of these seaweeds are grown in captivity. When I say captivity, they're grown in kind of areas that don't have much water flow, and I watched a documentary on this the other day. It's very, very easy. They do this in Bali. They also do it in other parts of Indonesia, in other poor island areas. They have these big long lines, these big long strings, and they, you know, they might go for 100 meters, and there could be 20 of them, and they'll plant little seaweed plants, and they'll wrap themselves around these lines and they'll grow, and then they'll go through and harvest them. And the Balinese and the Indians and the Indonesians, sorry, the Indonesians and the Indians and the islanders will harvest these, and they sell them for quite good money for what they would normally be earning. However, in terms of the nutritious waters, the waters that these plants are actually grown in aren't necessarily the most pristine waters you've ever seen. They're nice waters, they're warm, so the plants will grow fast. But they, you know, they may or may not be getting the most amount of nutrition. They could be grown in little alcoves or bays where the water doesn't flush out that much. So it may or may not be that awesome. But all that means is that you may not get as much iodine in this type of seaweed as you would in, say, a wild type seaweed. That's all. And you still will get iodine, and iodine is very, very beneficial, especially in New Zealand and Australia, where we don't get iodine in our soils. We don't get any iodine in our soils. So it is a good thing to get access to some iodine, and you know, seaweed is one of the best ways to do it. So that's pretty interesting, I reckon, anyway. Julie says, hi, happy to share. We are 11 weeks into it. Johnny has lost 18 kilos at 11 weeks. That's amazing. And I have lost 16 kilos at 11 weeks. We are both feeling so great, and Johnny's joint pain is completely gone. Wow. Julie and Johnny, you guys are cranking it. Congratulations. That's the way. Like, that just puts an absolute smile on my dial. They're the sorts of results we'd love to hear about. Just, look, I love to hear that people are moving in the right direction. So if you've lost a kilo and you're a couple of weeks in, but you're doing 100%, then I'm wrapped. If you've lost 10 kilos and you're 10 weeks in, I'm wrapped. If you've lost 5 kilos and you're 10 weeks in and you've been doing it 100%, then I'm wrapped, because this is a challenge. And for as many 112 days programs as you like, you've had the opportunity to go and hit it really hard to lose a whole lot of body fat. And obviously Julie and Johnny have taken the bull by the horns and have lost a lot of weight. So combined in 11 weeks, they've lost 34.2 kilos combined, which is, you know, it's the weight of a 12-year-old person, which is just incredible. So really, congratulations. That's amazing, you two. And Tracy says hi as well, which is great. Wendy asks, can you remind me which yogurts and rice milks you recommend in New Zealand? Crikey. What are the ones in New Zealand? You know, Wendy, I reckon the best thing to do, because I haven't bought rice milk in New Zealand for some time. I know that the Freedom Foods ones are there. I've got a feeling that the Aussie, Australia's own is over there as well. Vitasoy is definitely over there. So those rice milks are all good. They're all good. With your yogurts, when I was in New Zealand just the other day, I went around, I thought I'd better have a bit of a hunt and see what else is available. We'll see what's on the grab, what you can get. And I was uber impressed, because there were some amazing yogurts that are around at the moment in New Zealand. And the key defining thing about a yogurt is that it should be full fat. That's really important. It shouldn't be low fat. It should be full fat. And then, as well as being full fat, the amount of sugar, the amount of carbohydrate per 100 grams shouldn't exceed 12. So if you can go with me on this, it should be natural. I don't mind if it's got some fruit on it or in it, that's fine. As long as the total carbohydrate amount doesn't exceed 12. There should be some protein, there should be some fat, and the carbohydrate should not exceed 12. And that should open the door for bucket loads of different types of yogurts. Now, I'd be interested to find out what other people have found in terms of the types of brands that you found in New Zealand. I used to recommend Cyclops. I suppose I probably still do. I don't recognise or recommend Puhoi Valley anymore. That's more of a dessert yogurt. That's what they started out being, a dessert yogurt, but they've now mucked around with it too much, and it's now not Tubset. It used to be Tubset. It's a Tubset yogurt that really would be ideal. But Julie and Johnny, what would you share with us what you're actually eating? What are you eating for breakfast, lunch, and tea? That's what I reckon people on this call would like to know. People would like to know why you're succeeding, why you're getting such incredible weight loss, and why you're feeling so good. So why don't you share with us what you've been doing, because your results speak. You know, that's huge amounts of success. Now, you might have noticed on the Facebook page that I put up the new PALM method, the 2012 version of the PALM method. This is current. Now, this PALM method will only be up there for 2 weeks. I'm going to take it down in 2 weeks' time, and then it will be available as a disc. You'll be able to buy it as a disc. I will probably put it on iTunes, so you'll be able to download it. And so you'll be able to download it from iTunes, and happy for you to do that. But you'll certainly be able to buy it at a disc. It's great. It's a great reference. It's a great tool. It's an excellent resource to be able to help you keep, I suppose, on track and be mindful of what you should be eating. But I will actually put it on iTunes for download if you wanted the electronic version of it, and licensed, of course. So feel free to look at it. Jump onto the Facebook page on the 112 Day Challenge. You can jump on my Facebook as well. That's the Damien Christophe Facebook page. If you aren't friends with me, then you can certainly be friends with me. Happy to be friendly with everybody. And you can watch it and pick up on some of those tips. We'll talk about oils in there. We'll talk about food, nutrition. Obviously, you will have all seen the old version of the Palm Method where I had hair. These days, I do a new version of the Palm Method without hair. I think the content is what matters, and the new content is better. So we've got rice milk. If it is calcium-rich with chickpeas, and chickpeas aren't on your list, should we still have it or just stick to the basic non-enriched? Thanks, Tracy. Tracy, usually you find with the chickpea enriched ones that that's protein enriched, not calcium enriched. So all of anything that's called a milk in Australia and New Zealand, because of FSANs, anything that's sold as a milk in Australia and New Zealand has to be fortified with calcium to give you a certain amount of calcium per 100 mils of milk. So you have to, it has to give you that. And if it doesn't have enough calcium in it, then it can't be called a milk. So if you just keep that in mind, because the chickpea ones are just protein enriched, and you should be able to get enough protein from the things that you put in the rice milk into. So let's say, for example, you're choosing your body type cereal, or you've managed to get yourself some forage, then there's bucket loads of protein in that. And if you've got that, then adding some rice milk to that with some yogurt will be a full complement of protein, fat, and carbohydrate. That'll be perfect. If you're thinking, I'll put rice milk on other stuff, then you just want to make sure there's enough protein in those other things, especially if you're not supposed to be having chickpeas. Now, hand on heart, Tracy, if you want to have some chickpeas, I guarantee it's not going to kill you. So you could have some chickpeas. Just be mindful that if you're having chickpeas and you start to get a bit bloated, or you start to pass more wind, we feel a bit uncomfortable, maybe you feel a bit sluggish after having some rice milk, you might actually find that it's not ideal for you. It's it may not be that chickpeas are the best way for you to go forward in enhancing your protein stores. You might need a more robust protein, in which case nuts and seeds will be appropriate, yogurt will be appropriate, some fish or some chicken or some eggs will be appropriate. And you might find that mixing some rice milk with some eggs, if you're making scrambled eggs, for example, or an omelette or a egg frittata, might be a way that you could, make it more puffy, more light, make the eggs more puffy, more light, and make it go further. So that'd be pretty good. Hey, there's been no love, no joy from Julie and Johnny. They haven't shared what they've been doing, but that's okay. What I suspect they're doing is having three meals a day and making sure they're eating protein, fat, and carbohydrate, not just one or the other. And certainly I could imagine they're not skipping meals. So, I'm quite certain that they'll be doing great things with the food. You probably also find that Julie and Johnny aren't having snacks. They might be having snacks, but their snacks would be small if they're having any snacks. And certainly the only snacks they'll be having would be items from their food list. The other thing that's really important to understand is that given that there's only 21 meals of food in a week, if you're having three meals a day, it's important that if you're only going to do 80%, and we're talking about the 80-20 rule, if you're only going to do 80%, it is important that you only muck up three meals a week, and so that 18 meals of the week are absolutely perfect. So if you've got all your breakfasts right and all of your lunches right, you can muck around a little bit in the evenings three times a week. So it could be your Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or it could be your Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or it could be, Wednesday, Tuesday, Thursday. But just little muck arounds, not large muck arounds, bearing in mind that 80% will get you 80% results. 100% should get you 100% results. Some people with 80% will get 100% results, but not always. Julie says, here we go. They've opened up. Thanks, Julie and Johnny. We use Dawinkle yogurt, which is good. Dawinkle yogurt is terrific, actually. That's a kind of a runny yogurt. It's a great yogurt, in fact, and I like it a lot. I've forgotten about that one, Julie. Thank you. I actually thought it was an Australian yogurt for a little bit of time, but it's obviously quite clearly not. So we use Dawinkle yogurt, mixed berries, So it's blueberries, raspberries, blackberries. Sprinkle the LSA for breakfast. Our diet is very varied and we eat lots of different things. Always very fresh foods, and we use lots of recipes out of the book, which all does is lots of salads, veggies and meat. And that's awesome. Like, to do that through winter and to head into spring has got you, will have you in a really, really good situation. Because a lot of people go through winter trying to eat those warmer foods and the baked foods and all those sorts of things. They get to spring and they kind of still, still doing a bit of baked stuff and you're doing some roast and looking for that warm stuff. But the spring vegetables are in. You know, we're starting to see asparagus appear on the shelves. We're starting to get a few of these things now come back into our food and into our produce lines. And, you know, you want to switch over really quickly to the seasonal items that are spring and summer. Because the spring and summer foods will help you lose weight faster. You lose weight more efficiently and you get healthier quicker if you switch across to the spring and summer foods now. So if you, the healthier you get, the quicker you move across, the healthier you'll get. So keep on mixing your foods up and, you know, just vary your diet. Exactly what Julie and Johnny are doing. It's really important. I'm just typing a little message to Hayley, see if she gets this. Hopefully you're all finding this, you know, at least a little bit interesting. Hopefully not rambling too much. So he says, yes, 3 meals a day is all we have. Oh, this must be Julie and Johnny. And we don't snack really. If we do, it's just nuts and seeds. So there you go. So it's 3 meals a day. Probably not having many snacks, if any snacks. Now, if you've got body type 1, and I can't remember what Julie and Johnny have. If you've got body type 1, you may want to have some snacks. And that's okay. But I would really like it if you didn't have many snacks at all. Because if you're not having snacks, and you've got to burn through the fuels that you've stored. So try and avoid the snacks where you can. That'd be great. Now, Cindy O'Meara posted that 83% or 82% of all Australian households still eat cereal for breakfast. And so that started a massive string, of comments, of feedback and a lot of rebuttal. Some people said, well, what's wrong with the humble Weet-Bix? And I know that, you know, all of you on the call tonight will know what's wrong with the Weet-Bix. And, you know, some of the people said, well, what about cornflakes? You know, been around for years. Other people said, well, I just have oats for, you know, as porridge for breakfast. And that's exactly what Cindy and I and many other naturopaths, nutritionists and dietitians talk about all the time, is that they are the problem. Those items like fiber, that's just right. No, not calories, just right. There's another one. It's just all fiber. I can't remember what it's called. But anyway, there's just, you know, a lot of these things are just one ingredient. And eating one ingredient is not the best way to go. You want a mix of ingredients, which is really important. Also, the more highly processed a cereal is, the more, let's just say, the less beneficial it is to your body. You know, so, you know, if you've got grains that are milled down to be something different and turned into something else, then that becomes less favourable to you. There's less nutrition in that sort of thing. So that can become quite a problem. So what Cindy and I are talking about here is that it's the boxed cereals that don't really give you a whole lot of nutrition because there's not a whole lot in them. Fibre isn't really a nutrient. It's not going to give you much energy. It might move your bowels. Get things cranking, but it's not going to give you a whole lot. So, this is where your body type cereals or the forage cereals are better for you because they do have the carbohydrate, the protein, and the fat. It's all mixed into it, and that's what you want. So you need that big blend. But also the quality of the ingredients you put into it. So if you get organic, that's even better. If you can't get organic, then aim to get, locally grown. If you can get locally grown, can't get locally grown, then just get fresh stuff and try to, you know, really bump it up with some fresh fruits to, and berries, for, you know, for example, and some beautiful yogurts to really get, you know, the bulk in there. But follow that thread, and I'd love your comments. I'm going to follow Cindy's thread. That's a really powerful thread there. So it'd be interesting to know what your thoughts are and what suggestions you've got for breakfast, because obviously Julie and Johnny have been having the Dwinkle yogurt, the mixed berries, with some LSA, which I reckon is a great breakfast, and they get enough sustenance from that. But it'd be great to see what else you've got to talk about. the whole cholesterol thing is interesting, and we interviewed Peter Dingle just the other day about cholesterol, and what was very important to understand was that statin drugs don't actually lower your risk of heart disease. So I found that fascinating. So it'll be great for if you've got heart disease in the family, you know someone with heart disease, or you've been taking statin drugs, it would be great if you listen to that call, the Wellness Guys call, from Peter Dingle that we did just the other day. The other one was just the other night. Brett Hill and myself, we got on, we debated fats. And there's a bit of debate around at the moment because a lot of people are following this whole paleo thing. A lot of people have gone very paleo. And, you know, I'm not anti-paleo, but I'm not pro-paleo either. What I've found is that people who choose to eat just generally well, if you just eat healthy foods, then you're going to do really well. If you tend to, you know, wax and wane between processed foods and live and living foods and healthy foods, then you'll get a less than beneficial response. So my encouragement for people is to eat primal, which is exactly what the 112-day challenge is. It's a primal approach to eating, which includes various grains and other various items that you would be able to eat, you're not able to eat in the paleo program. But because a lot of people are going paleo, they think that you can just eat heaps of saturated fat, and you can't. You can't just eat lots of saturated fat. Look, to say that saturated fat is bad for you is not right. But to say that saturated fat is good for you is also not right. We need to have some caution around the animal-based saturated fats. There's very little research that tells us that animal-based saturated fats are good for us. If we look through the ages, we can kind of work out that animal-based saturated fats weren't the cause of ill health and disease, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they're good for us. In fact, it makes little sense to eat the byproduct of maldigestion or malutilization of carbohydrates of another animal and think that it's going to be beneficial to us. So, but certainly protein is beneficial for us because it's not a waste product of another animal, but the proteins, the meats, that's really good for us. But try and avoid the fats and the fatty cuts of stuff and, you know, choose your lean grass-fed proteins. That's the best way to go. That's so much better for you. So Wendy says, I'm using the Dairy Collective brand of unsweetened yogurt. It's thick like Greek yogurt. Also the protein-enriched Vitasoy. Is it Vitasoy rice milk, Wendy? Hopefully it's rice milk, not soy milk. My favourite summer salad that I'm already into is finely grated carrots and beetroot with half a lime squeezed out of the cup. That's beautiful. I love that. It's a good idea. And what's the deal with coconut water? I think it's great. Go for gold with coconut oil. She says it's all the rage at the moment. You can even buy it on the Waiheke Ferry. Coconut water and kombucha are the new fads. Yeah. They're both good. They're both come out. They've been reborn. Kombucha's come back from the 80s and the early 90s. Kombucha, it's still living. It's amazing. Coconut water is excellent. Anything from a coconut's good for you. So go for gold. I'm really happy with that. But both coconut water and kombucha have come from the paleo movement, really. Albeit I mentioned both of those things on Downsize Me, and Wendy, you might even remember that because I remember recommending those things on Downsize Me in the early episodes. So, you know, maybe Downsize Me set the trend. Maybe we got the ball rolling. That would raise some eyebrows. That's pretty interesting. Then what else has been happening in nutrition world? The Bircher for Forage is due out shortly. That'll be out next week. So that's been really exciting. It's been a great project to work on. Very interesting project, I must say. And I'm looking forward to having that out on the shelves. So that's exciting. And, of course, we're going to manufacture for a kids' version, which is going to be absolutely fantastic as well. In terms of products that have been brought out to the marketplace, there's not a whole lot that's out. There's, you know, I think with the primal and the paleo thing that's going on at the moment, what we're finding is that people are starting to eat more sensibly, which is good. But the downside, the side effect of paleo has been that people are becoming, again, afraid of eating grains and carbohydrates. And whilst I think it's important that we avoid highly processed grains, I don't think we need to be very scared of having, just your general, you know, everyday sorts of grains like quinoa or brown rice. But while you're doing your 112-day challenge, try to avoid these things as much as you possibly can, because in the avoidance of grains, you'll burn more fat. You'll burn a bucket load more fat. And the same thing in the avoidance of all starch, like potatoes and those sorts of things, you'll burn more fat. Now, if you do want to include a bit of brown rice, you want to include a little bit of quinoa, or you want to include some amaranth or you know, something like that, gluten-free grains, if you want to include something like that, then you can certainly do that. Just bear in mind that it may slow down your fat loss. So if you're struggling to burn the fat right now, it may not be ideal for you to have grains, and it may be a better thing to have less grains than any grains at all at the moment. So just keep that in mind, because grains can slow down the rate at which you burn fat. So think about that. Donna Ryder, great to have you on here. Damien, a cereal body type 4 is so good. My husband and I have been eating for over 2 years now, and we still love it. We alternate it with eggs and spinach when we have time, but otherwise the cereal is great. Well done. That's good. So the body type 4 cereal, every now, you know, we alternate it with eggs and spinach. That's exactly what a body type 4 person should do. The body type 4 person should alternate their food quite a lot and have more robust meals more frequently. So the more robust the protein sources are for the body type 4, the better your results will be. The less robust, so for example, the cereal, the greater the struggle you will have with managing blood sugar levels. Now, let me just qualify this. If you're flying through your fat loss, like if you're zooming and your body fat's stripping and everything's going really, really well, then the body type 4 person can use cereal every now and then, say 2 or 3, maybe 4 times a week maximum, 3 times probably maximum, and still get amazing results. But if you're body type 4 and you're struggling to burn a bit of fuel, then I'll just back off the cereal a little bit and have more of the fish or the eggs for breakfast and have a bit more of a robust breakfast. Now, the body type 1 and the body type 2 and 3 person can have cereal more frequently and have less robust meals more frequently. Does that make sense? So you don't have to have the eggs every single day. In fact, the body type 1 person is less likely to want to have eggs every single day. So just, you know, if you just keep those things in mind, that'll be really, really, really good for you moving forward, especially as we, you know, get closer to the end of this 16-week challenge or this particular 112-day challenge. And, you know, as you know, the June 112-day challenge is the last 112-day challenge that will ever be done, but certainly with me being part of it. So it's a big thing. So try and get all these tidbits of information. And you might have seen the email that came out from Phyllis, or it may not be out yet. It may be coming out tomorrow or in the next couple of days. But we're putting together a little, what are they called, iPod, with all 250-odd calls that we've done over the last 4 or 5 years, or 200-plus calls that we've done over the last 4 or 5 years, for you to listen to. There's some unbelievable content in there that we've talked about over that period of time. I think there's only 50 of these iPods that we're creating, and there's going to be so much amazing information on there, just pearls of information. But it's kind of to symbolize and just to say, you know, thanks very much. It's been a wonderful time to do the 112-day challenge, and, you know, we thank you for being part of it. But as it draws to an end, it's really important that you feel really certain and really clear on what you need to be doing with your food and nutrition. And of course, Phyllis will continue to do her things, and we'll be doing lots of things together, I'm sure, in the future. And I'll be definitely doing the wellness guys. So it's very important that you're up to speed with what you've got to do with your food and your nutrition. It's really important. So, guys, we've now hit the half-hour mark. There's been a big drying up of questions through here, and I'm not sure whether or not you're chatting on the chat. But if there's no more questions, then let's call it a night, and thank you for persevering. I'm so sorry that I was 15 minutes late onto the call tonight. I didn't mean to be late. I was caught in traffic racing home to get on the computer, hoping that I could do it from home in time. But a bit of traffic, and we got caught out. If you want to listen to some radio tomorrow, there's a radio station called Triple M. And Triple M Melbourne, 4 o'clock tomorrow, I'll be on the radio, and you may choose to listen into it, and it'll be a entertaining chat about shattering food myths. It's possibly stuff that you already know, but, you know, we'll be talking about a whole bunch of stuff. There's some funny guys on there, and we'll talk about some good stuff. But thank you so much for being part of the call tonight. Thanks for jumping on, and I wish you all the best. Have a great week. And I think I'll be on the call next Tuesday. In fact, I will be on the call next Tuesday. So catch you all then. See ya.